All right, so this morning I want to preach a sermon for the new year, for the year that's coming up here as a church. We're going to review a little bit of just our successes, essentially, over the past year, where we're headed, and also the focus of the sermon we preach on this morning is increasing strength in 2023. And the reason why I want to preach on increasing strength is because we need a strong church. We need a strong core. The days that we live in are just going to end up continuing to get darker and evil. It's not going to get better. I don't see things getting better. Okay, things are going to continue to get worse, and we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared for that as a church, and we need to be prepared for that individually as well. So, thankfully, the Bible gives us a lot of wisdom and insight on how we can achieve the strength that we're going to need to get through the hard time. So, you know, when Satan decides to attack this church, when Satan decides to attack you personally or anything that's going on in your life, you could get the strength from the Word of God. You get the strength that you need to be able to withstand all the wiles of the devil. And that's what we're going to need to continue to have the success that we've been having in this church. We need a solid church. We need to be gathered together in unity. We need to be able to have that same focus and purpose as a church as we continue to move forward that has banded us together to this point. So I'm just going to give you some key statistics over this past year. So when I compare 2021 to 2022, we've had a lot of great successes. The first and foremost, and I think the most obvious, is the attendance increase that we've seen in the church. And from 2021 to 2022, the Sunday morning attendance, which is always our biggest attendance, has increased by 34%. So the average attendance over the course of the entire year has seen an increase of 34% from 2021 to 2022, which is why you see the expansion into the next room there, because God has been adding to our church and been blessing this church tremendously with having more people. As a result of that, I believe we've seen the salvations increased by 42% from 2021 to 2022. That's a very large increase, which also, to me, there's a lot of things that go involved with salvation, so I don't want to read too much into this because it all depends on where you're going and things like that. You know, there's other factors that could factor into this. You know, the more soul winning marathons we do, we typically have high numbers on those days because we spend so much time and there's so much participation in those. And depending on where we go also has an impact on that. But it's still just a great success to see those salvations. But not only have we had the salvation increase and the attendance increase, see, the attendance hasn't increased by just a bunch of people who don't want to serve God. The attendance has increased by people who are getting on board and serving the Lord and getting involved in the soul winning and doing the things and really plugging into church. There's always going to be, you know, a whole spectrum of people within the church, and I'm going to deal with that a little bit later in this evening's sermon. But the church that's going to stay strong and that we want to have a strong church is going to have the obviously the maximum number of people dedicated, committed, here, involved in the church, involved in the soul winning, involved in the ministry, involved in the work that we're actually doing going forward. That is what's going to help us to stay strong as a church. And then on top of all that, we've added another scheduled soul winning time to our weekly schedule, which that alone is very important because, you know, people may come or go on any given week at a scheduled soul winning time, but actually having a time there that's dedicated every single week, there's someone that said, hey, I'm going to lead this time. I'm going to be there every week. Other people can show up, and people have been showing up to this, you know, these times. That extra scheduled soul winning time is a 25% increase. We had 4 last year. Now we have 5. So that's huge, right? That's great, having an extra time to go out and do this work. Those are all great things that we've seen. And you know what? Again, praise God. But we're still in the infancy of this church. We're going into 2023. This church was founded in the middle of 2018. So we're not even 5 years old yet. We're going on approaching a 5-year anniversary as a church. And God has really been working and blessing here, but we don't want to blow that. We want to make sure we stay strong. We want to make sure that we're in the will of the Lord and continue to strengthen our church and not leave anything to fall by the wayside. We started there in Proverbs 24. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, through wisdom is an house builded. Through wisdom is a house builded. We're here in the house of the Lord. And this house, one of the first and foremost things that we need in this house is wisdom. Well, where are we going to get wisdom from? Well, hopefully that's obvious to you. If it's not, I'll spell it out for you. But we're going to get wisdom from the Word of God, right? We're going to get wisdom from God's Word. We need to have wisdom as a church. There needs to be wisdom coming forth from the pulpit, but not just from the pulpit. We need to have wisdom in the pews. We need to have wisdom in the seats with every individual knowing the Word of God for yourself. That is how the house is going to be builded. And by understanding, it is established. Let's keep reading there. Verse number 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Again, we're looking at increasing the strength of this church going into this year. How are we going to do that? Well, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Adding wisdom, adding understanding. And you know what? Isn't that great that we're doing this Bible challenge, the Bible reading challenge in the month of January to get the whole New Testament just read and consumed into your brain in this month, the first month out of the year? Add wisdom, add knowledge by participating in this challenge and reading the Word of God seriously, not flippantly, not every so often, not what's the proverb of the day or the psalm of the day or this little devotional. Get in and do some serious reading. That's how you're going to get serious wisdom. A little bite here or there, a little verse here or there, a little verse of the month in our calendar. Hey, look, those are great, but we need to get serious about increasing our knowledge, increasing our understanding. There is so much dedicated to wisdom, understanding. Hey, wisdom's the principal thing. Read the whole book of Proverbs. You'll get that message. It really is important. That's what guides you in your day-to-day life is that wisdom. It's that knowledge. That's what's going to keep your children from getting into sin. That's what's going to keep all of us from backsliding and falling is getting that knowledge up here. Get it in your mind. It's going to keep you strong. Verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Get wise counsel. You want strength. You want security. You want to be able to continue moving forward. Hey, you know what's wise? Is having a multitude of counselors also. When you're not certain about something, you know, ask people, ask good counselors. And don't just ask anyone. When you're looking for help, especially on spiritual matters or even just things in your life, you want advice from people, hey, what do you think I should do? Seek out a good counselor. How are you going to know who's a good counselor? Someone who really knows the Word of God. Someone who, when you talk to them, can speak with wisdom. And you ought to be able to just tell, hey, every time I get advice from this person, it seems to be pretty good. Every time I ask them about something, you know, they're giving me why from the Bible. They're explaining what, you know, what the Scripture says about that. And, you know, even if I haven't taken their advice in the past, it always seems to have been really good advice. You know, so you're not always able to recognize the good counselors right away. But, you know, after a while, if you talk to people, you start to know, like, it's pretty solid. It's pretty good. And having a multitude of counselors, the Bible says there's safety. And obviously here, this is talking about by wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. Well, going to war isn't something that's done flippantly. It's a big decision, right? It's a major decision. So in major decisions that you make, you ought to be seeking counsel, and especially something, you know, like going to war. I mean, this church, if you think about it, we're in a war. There is a spiritual battle going on, and this is the house of God. This is where you're going to get your spiritual meat, your spiritual strength. And we need the wise, we need wisdom to go forth in this spiritual battle so that we can make wise choices and we can have safety. And think about that too, you know, because the enemy is going to try to evoke you into some kind of act of getting in your flesh. Try to get a bad name brought upon you. But if, you know, we ought to live in that the bad name is going to be because we're following the word of God, not because of something we actually do that's wicked or wrong or sinful. We don't ever want to get to a point where you're converting the spiritual warfare into this physical warfare. You know, there's a lot of churches that have been dealing with the protests of the people who hate God, trying to shut down a church. But the temptation may be there to want, oh man, I can't believe what that guy said. He makes me so mad. I just want to go over there and, you know, do something to him. And you don't want to get into that fight. That's not the fight that we're called to do. It's not the physical call to arms or things like that. And why am I even bringing this up? We don't have any protesters outside of our church right now. But you know what? One day we may. We probably will. I mean, there's a cesspool of filth not very far from this church of people that hate God. There's plenty of people out there in our relatively close proximity that could very easily come down here and try to cause problems for us, and they probably will. They just don't know we're here yet. And once they know about us, then just be ready for it. We need to have wisdom in this battle. We need to be smart. We don't need anyone going off as a church and doing foolish things that could bring a bad name upon the entire church or upon the cause of Christ or anything like that. We need to be wise and we need to be strong. Because when that threat comes, when that attack comes, those that aren't strong are going to fall away. You can't handle the heat, you're going to be out. And look, I've experienced this firsthand when I was going to Faithful Word. You know, thankfully, the church was strong, and very, very few people ended up falling out. And, you know, but when the pressure comes on, when the media tension's on, there's going to be a pressure for people to want to leave because they don't like it. It's uncomfortable being in the pressure. It's uncomfortable being in the spotlight. It's uncomfortable having people yell things at you or whatever, right? Picketing your church, and then you're on the news, and then your family's going like, is that your church? Like, wait, I saw you walking in there. Is that, you know? And these are all the things that could very well happen. Well, you need to have wisdom. Is what we're doing right? Is this what the Word of God says? Hey, if it's right, you have no shame in being a part of an organization or a ministry that's doing right by the Word of God. No reason at all. Regardless of what the news says, regardless of what the media is going to say, regardless of what your family is going to say, look, if you're doing right by God, that is first and foremost. And you need to get that settled and established in your heart by the wisdom of God that you know you're doing right so that you can have the strength to continue when those hard days come. When the attacks come, you could stand strong and not back down. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to read just a short passage about right after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Right? Saul of Tarsus just get saved, and we're going to see how the Bible says that he increased in strength, and that's when he becomes, you know, preaching like the Apostle Paul. It's important for everybody, every believer, every pillar of the faith, every man of God that we see as a good example of someone who's really godly, like the Apostle Paul, started off as a new believer, right? Everybody does. Everybody starts off as a babe in Christ the moment you're born again. Everybody does. But what is critical is that you grow and become strong in order to really do great things to serve the Lord. You need the wisdom to grow. You need the willingness and the integrity to say, hey, I'm going to serve you, Lord, no matter what. And you need strength. Look at verse number 20. This is right after his conversion, where he's still referred to as Saul in the scripture. Verse number 20 of chapter 9, the Bible says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So the very first thing he starts doing is preaching the Son of God. You know what's going to help you get strong is going soul winning. Right away. You say, oh, but I'm just this brand new believer. I don't really know much. Look, go out with us and preach the gospel. You don't have to know much. Go out and preach that Jesus is the Son of God. Preach salvation through his name. And hey, learn from us. Learn from someone who has been soul winning many times over and is effective at leading people to Christ. Go with somebody like that so you can learn and increase your wisdom and become more effectual. And I guarantee you, when you are actually literally involved in the true ministry of this church, because that is what this church is all about. And don't ever forget, regardless, look, I was just bringing up attacks that might come on our church and people are going to hate us and try to shut us down. They're going to want to focus on one doctrine. They're going to want to focus on one thing that we believe. They're going to want to focus on one thing and try to throw that up there and say, well, this is what this church is all about. I mean, if you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, you're going to find our church is listed as a hate group. Now, you ask yourself this question for you. I mean, when you come to church, do you just feel like, oh, man, what am I doing in the midst of this hate group? Like, these people are so hateful here. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. But you know what? This is what they're going to throw up there. And then your family members are going to go, you're part of a hate group? You know, that's all people just need to hear are these accusations and someone saying something and things getting thrown out there. But it's like, hey, look, if you just come and visit us, how about you just see for yourself what we're all about? Why don't you see what this church is really all about? What our church is really all about, what have we been focusing on? What's the main focus in our bulletin on the front page there? Soul winning times, salvations. What are we talking about when I'm talking about the successes of the past year, the salvations, the number of people going out soul winning, the times that we have, the effort to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the focus of the church. That's the focus. But you know what? We love all of the Word of God. Not just certain parts of it either. And we know that if God is going to use us to the utmost, we ought to be faithful in all the Word of God. And we love God and we love His commandments and we love the Word of God that gives us the light, that gives us the truth. So we're going to cling to all of it. And you know what? Some of it really flies in the face of this world and really makes people angry and really makes people upset, but we're not going to apologize for it at all. And it's going to make people want to come and protest us. It's going to make people want to try to shut down what we're doing here. But you need to get locked in to what we're really doing here and not worry about what everyone else wants to draw. Tell you, oh, you guys believe this and believe that. You know, look, yeah, we do, because that's what the Bible says. And sometimes they'll say things that aren't even true. I mean, I don't know how many times they misrepresent what we believe anyways. Oh, this church, they're going to send people out and have these vigilantes go out and kill people. And, you know, it's like, you guys are nuts. We don't do that at all. We don't teach that at all. But when people get angry about what you say, they want to throw all manner of evil against you falsely. But what did the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, right after he got saved, what did he start doing? Straightway he preaches Christ. The calling's there. Jesus calls his disciples. What do? Straightway they leave their nets. Hey, James, John, come with me. I'll make you fishers of men. Straightway they drop their nets and they follow. They follow Christ. Peter, Andrew, come, follow me. Straightway. They're like, all right, here I am, Lord. And they start following. And then Jesus starts working in their life. We need to straightway be just jump full on in. Jump full into this church. We're Baptists, right? We believe by baptism, by immersion. Well, not just the physical water of getting baptized. How about you just get baptized in this church by jumping full in and getting immersed in everything that we're doing here? Get immersed in the ministry. Get immersed in the services. Get immersed with all that we're doing. And that's going to help strengthen you. Look at verse number 21 there in Acts chapter 9. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He starts going soul winning. What do we see happen? Well, he's increased now more in strength. He's fully embraced the faith. And now he's doing. Now he's acting on it. And God gives him more strength. You want God to give you more strength? Start doing more for God. Because God, the great thing about God, he wants you to do a lot. And he will give you what you need. He gives you the tools. He provides you with whatever tools, whatever skills you need to do the job he wants you to do. He'll give them to you because they're all good. How do you want to serve the Lord? God wants people serving him first and foremost by preaching his word, preaching the gospel, telling people about Christ. If you feel like you don't know how to talk, or I can't speak, I'm not very eloquent, I don't know what I'm saying, I fumble around with my words, I'm real shy, I don't like interactions with people, God will help you overcome all of those things. God will strengthen you with all of that. All of it. Guaranteed. Pray to God and just by faith do. In obedience, start doing. God will give you what you need. Guaranteed. God will strengthen you. I mean, what do you think? We look at the Apostle Paul, and sometimes because of everything we see, we could almost think, well, yeah, you just grow to expect. Of course Apostle Paul is going to do this. Of course Apostle Paul is going to do that. But do you ever stop to think what he was really going through or what he faced himself? I mean, here's a guy who literally was going to destroy and to kill the people who believed, like he then changed his belief to believe in. I mean, he literally flipped completely from being an attacker to being a defender of the faith. What was going on inside of him that he must have had the thought, what are people going to say? What are people going to think at some point? I mean, he's a human being. Why we looked at him as a great example is because he chose the Lord. He cares about what the Lord thinks, not what other people think. He said, it doesn't matter what anyone says because I'm going to do what's right. But I guarantee you he had the inner turmoil, inner struggles, not knowing what's going to happen. Hey, are people even going to receive me? I might be rejected by everyone because no one's even going to trust me. I might, you know, I've done these other things. No one's going to be on my side. I'm going to be a total outcast because now these guys won't accept me, but I don't think these guys are going to accept me either. But you know what? He did it by faith. And at the end of the day, God made it all work out. God made it work out where he was accepted. The people were able to see finally, like, no, his conversion's real. He's not just trying to creep in. He's not doing anything shady. He's not trying to get you. Because that's what he was doing. Remember, the Bible says that he was going in, inhaling men and women, right? Then he would arrest them and send them back to face charges, right? So he'd go in like, oh, hey, brother, you know, like he's a Christian, and then go in and have them all get arrested. But he, after his conversion, right away started letting people know, no, this is the truth. This is the right way. And God gave him what he needed. He increased the more in strength. And as a result, he was able to confound the Jews. The very group he came out of, he was then able to confound them, confuse them. They didn't know how to answer him. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. at the end of the day, it's the Lord that increases our strength. You know, how do we increase our strength? We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek God to do that. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And look, I can tell you from personal experience, even when you feel physically weary, even when things seem really hard, okay, and you feel like, I don't even know how I could do this. Look, I've gone through this enough times. I've spent enough sleepless nights preparing, working, doing things for the ministry. And you know what? Come Sunday sometime, they're going, I don't even know how I'm going to make it through this day. And every single time without fail, wow, there's a whole sudden excess of strength, of ability, of joy, of whatever it is that's needed to get through the day. Praise God for that. And if you're uncertain about that, just test the Lord and see if he'll come through for you. But you got to rely on him. You got to do so in faith. You can't be wavering. You have to be knowing that God is there to help you. Why wouldn't he be? If you're coming to serve him, why wouldn't he help you in any way that he could? I mean, think about that. It only makes sense. If my children came to me and said, Dad, I want to serve you. I want to do what is it that you want me to do? You think I wouldn't like give them the tools and help them? Be like, oh, you want to help me? You want to get this project done? Well, here you go, son. This is how you do it. Let me give you a screwdriver. Let me give you a drill. Let me give you whatever it is that you want to build, whatever you need to work on, whatever it is that I want you to do. I'll equip you. I'll help you. I'll guide you. This is how you do it. Of course, what father wouldn't do that for their children? And you think the Heavenly Father, for his born-again children of God, he's not going to equip you to serve him with the way that he's commanded us to serve him? You better believe he will. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows what we need to be strengthened, and he'll do it. But the willingness has to come from you. You have to make a choice. Am I going to do, or am I not going to do? He leaves that up to you. But if you say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Then he's going to say, great. And equips you with what you need. Don't wait for the strength to be there first and then go. You go, and then God will provide the strength. God wants to know that that decision is in your mind, that no matter what happens, I'm going to do this anyways because it's right. And then you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you everything that you needed. But the willingness has to be from your heart. And you could trust and know that he will increase your strength. Turn if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. We're almost done. This advice that we're going to see is, I think, very fitting as well. This is the advice from David to not just to Solomon, but basically, this is David speaking about building the house of God, right? And saying what needs to be done and kind of giving direction as he's going to be on his way out, and the work's going to need to continue to go forward since he was not allowed to be the one to build the house of God. Now, when we read this, think about the application that can be made to building, say, this house of God. right? Obviously, there's differences between the temple and New Testament church and things like that. But look at it from the high level and apply the principles that would still fit exactly the same way as it would. There's the preparation involved, getting things ready, right? A lot of people being involved in putting in the time and effort and the resources, say, man, we want this to be a success, so we're going to get everything ready. We're going to get prepared. That's what David's doing. David's getting all the materials for Solomon. He's saying, well, I can't build this, but you know what? I could do everything up to this point. So he does as much as he possibly could without actually building it, because that was where his line was drawn from God that said, nope, you can't do this. He's like, well, I'm going to do as much as I possibly can. And we need to have that heart and that attitude to say, I'm going to do as much as I possibly can. We all might have our own limitations on what we can do. Not everybody is a carpenter. Not everybody is able to, you know, do the work. Like, even the work that was done here is great work on the flooring, whatever. There's people who are skilled at being able to do things, and that's great. And not everyone is going to be able to accomplish that task. You might have a limitation there, right? But what about, well, hey, I can do everything up to that point. What we were doing yesterday was equipping the guys that had the skills, that had the ability to do some of the work. And I'm talking about physically, right? But it's an application. And this is the way we ought to be thinking about all that we do, all of our service to the Lord. Well, what can we do to help you? Well, I might not be able to do that specific job, but you know what I could do? I could get all the pieces, all the equipment. I could get the trash out of the way. I could do everything else to make your job work as best as it possibly can to help you. That's what I can do. I don't know how to do this or that. And, you know, I'm just looking around and I'm just seeing these physical things before my eyes of help and preparation and things that we can do. But we all have something that we can do, and God has work for you. And that goes beyond just obviously these physical things. This is a minor detail. This isn't the biggest stuff, isn't in this physical work. Let's read here in verse number 11 of 1 Chronicles 22. The Bible says, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Right off the bat, what is he telling his son? What is he telling Solomon? The Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. First and foremost, you're going to build the house of God. You know what you need? Wisdom and understanding from God. We're going to build this house. We want to be strong and have a strong church and have a strong house of God. You know what the first thing we need is? Wisdom and understanding. And you know what's tied right in along with that? That thou mayest keep the law. Righteousness. Wisdom and understanding in the word of God to live righteously. To walk in his law. Verse 13, then shalt thou prosper. You want to see Stronghold Baptist Church prosper? I do. You want to see the house of the Lord prosper? You want to see, you know, yourself prosper? Get wisdom, get understanding, keep the law. That's the formula. It's simple. You're going to hear this repeated over and over in church. But you know what I say? That's good. We need that reminder. Because there's other philosophies of men that you also come into contact with on a regular basis that's going to tell you all these other ways to success. All these other ways, like, oh, here's, in order for you to succeed, you need to write down how much money you want to have, and you need to put up a dollar bill on your mirror, and every day you're looking, look, that garbage is out there, and you're going to be exposed to that stuff, and you're going to hear that stuff, and be bombarded with all these weird, vain philosophies of man. You know what we need to remind ourselves of? Hey, I want true success from the Lord. What do I need? Wisdom, understanding, keep the law, be righteous. And let all that garbage fall by the wayside. Verse 13, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Dread not. Don't dread the things of God. No matter who else might be out there trying to scare you. in any aspect of your life. People want to scare you from serving the Lord. Don't dread. Don't be dismayed. Be strong. Good courage. Verse 14, now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. We see David doing everything he could to make this a success. I mean, he stopped at nothing. He invested his own stuff. I mean, he was investing not just the nation stuff, but his own goods, his own stuff to this cause. He was fully invested in the house of the Lord being built and the glorification of the Lord going throughout the land. Verse 17, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. So not only is he bringing the physical resources, but now he's telling them, hey, look, you all need to back him up on this. You need to be there to help him out. This is a big task. Other people need to be involved, other leadership, other people to help get this job done. Verse 18, is not the Lord your God with you? Don't just rely on the one man to get everything done. Isn't the Lord God with you too? You could help out. Why don't you get involved and help the main thrust and the focus of building the house of God? Because it's not going to be done by one person. If you all just sit back and say, well, Pastor Burzins, that's his job. He's going to build this church. Well, first of all, the Lord's going to build this church. But second of all, look, we do have to do work that's going to have that as an end, right? The end result of misery. We should be growing. That should be something. We're reaching more people. We ought to be. We know that God wants there to be more work done. We know that we're members of his body and that God is going to place people as he sees fit within his body. But you know what? There's going to be more people to add when we're actually doing our work, when we're doing the stuff we're supposed to be doing. It's going to happen. But no one should be sitting back and just letting other people do all the work. You do as much as you can to help out, and we're all unified together in one body to do the work of the Lord. Verse 18, I'll read this again. Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Look, there's not a better time here in the kingdom of Israel. You don't have any battles going on. You don't have any wars going on. Build now. Get out there. Do the work of the Lord. Get this done. Now is the best time. There couldn't be a better time. We live in a country right now where it couldn't be any better for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to face jail time. You don't have to worry. It's not illegal. It's not against the law. You have all the freedom to go out there and preach the gospel to anybody you want to go and preach the gospel to. And even right now, we don't even have any battles facing our church, like literally directly at this time either. Everything is easy. Don't just sit back and glide and rest and be like, oh, cool, we're on easy street. Now's the time to work harder than ever. Now's the time to build. Now's the time to really invest and get full steam ahead on the work, because we don't have any other distractions. We've got no other fronts to the battle other than focusing on the main cause and the main purpose, the main thrust of what we're here to do. So let's take advantage of that time and all work together. Verse 19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. And I'm just going to read this for you in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. The Bible says, And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. And that's a testimony of Hezekiah. If you don't know who Hezekiah was, he was one of the greater kings of Israel, kings of Judah that went forth, and he served the Lord with his heart. He did it with all his heart. And you know what happened as a result? He prospered. God prospered him. Why? Because he sought God with all his heart. That's why. When you seek out God with all of your heart, he will answer you. You need to serve the Lord with all your heart. You know what he's going to do? He's going to help you to increase your wisdom. You're seeking God with all your heart? Well, then you're going to take it seriously. Why don't you listen to God then by hearing from his word? He'll increase your wisdom. We need to know the law and judgment, and we need to put it all into practice every day in our lives. That's where the sincerity comes in. It's not when you just show up and say the right thing at church or say the right thing to a church member. It's when you put it into practice in your day-to-day life. Every day. Why? Because it's sincere. Because you hold this actually to be true. You're not just putting on a front. You're not putting on a show. It's not just, oh, I want to have the most clout in the new IFB or in Strong Old Baptist Church or whatever. No, when it's real, you live it. And when it's real, and when you're seeking God with all your heart, God will give you the strength. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the courage. God will give you what you need. God has given this church what we need to do the job we've gotten done up to this point. But we need to stay strong. We need to continue to increase strength. Because you know what? The day that the battle is actually pointed directly at us, man, we ought to be standing shoulder to shoulder. Nobody retreating, no one backing down, nobody getting out. We've all invested in this work. And when you're invested in the work and we're all on that same cause, it doesn't matter what's going to come against us. Because if God be for us, who could be against us? Right? Amen. The Lord is our strength. Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the strength that you've given us to this point. We thank you for the blessings, dear God. We're here to serve you. We want your name to be magnified above all others, Lord. We want people to know the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God, we want to shine as a lighthouse for our area and even just the whole world to know that there are still people who will not compromise, that will not back down, that will not sacrifice your word to any pressure, dear Lord, but that we love your word, we're going to uphold your word, we're going to live it, breathe it, eat it, sleep it, dear Lord, and that there is no other God but you. God, help us to magnify your name throughout the world. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.